This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. 8:08 just about here on your Tuesday morning. Happy you're with us, the 11th day of the month. And we got beautiful skies again. Going to enjoy this day. I hope you have an excuse to get outside and have lunch. And it ought to just brighten your mood, right?
It really does. Just like having an hour more of sunlight.
Yes.
And warmer temperatures.
So she does like daylight saving time. It took us a couple days.
Well, I like it staying the same. I don't like flip-flopping back and forth.
It but still would have gotten there, just slower.
You take longer, yeah.
60 days. From
these are days where I feel really guilty taking a nap, but I feel like I need to.
I never
because
feel
it's
guilty
so,
taking a nap.
Really, when it's so pretty like this, I feel like I should be sleeping on a hammock out in a park, but
exactly.
I would not do that.
You wouldn't want to these days, depending on the park.
I guess, yeah, but I don't even like people watching me sleep, which is why I'm not a great plane sleeper.
Who's watching you sleep?
Interesting.
People would watch you sleep. I don't know. People aren't going to like sit up Indian style and watch me sleep like it's a movie, but people would walk by and see me sleeping.
You won't be sleeping on your Southwest flight because you'll be too pissed off at them, right?
That's right.
For
once I have to pay for my first and second bag.
We talked about that last hour in Kim on a Whim, if you missed it. That's starting if any flight that you book with Southwest after, what, May 28th?
Yep.
You're going to have to start paying for both pieces of luggage.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't just ease you into this and say, you could get away with just one free piece. They're going to now start charging you for any luggage you check,
understand this. Yeah, and it's on or after May 28th, so book it now.
May 28th is the Wednesday.
Book it early. I don't know how they.
Well, don't they say Tuesdays or Wednesdays are one of the biggest days of the week to book a flight because supposedly that's the cheapest fares? That's what I've heard. I've heard like Tuesday is a really good day to book a flight. Maybe there was.
It used to be. And then that once they found out that we knew that, they stopped that.
Maybe it's Wednesday now.
Well, that's the week of Memorial Day. So
Southwest is abandoning all those things that made them kind of unique from the other airlines. They're all just cattle cars now, right?
That's basically it.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Donna Behringer. She's a state representative. She's been working hard running for comptroller in the city of St. Louis. One of three people that make the biggest decisions in the city all the time, including, of course, the mayor, who could be Kara Spencer after April 8th. We'll find out what happens in the election. But she's challenging the longtime incumbent Darlene Green, and we're going to talk to her here in the next segment to find out what it is she thinks she can accomplish in that role that would be a change from the past 30 years. Also, Ryan Wiggins, just a little bit later this hour, we'll get him in here for Wiggins America at about 8:35. And find out what the next segment will be on Wiggins America this weekend. I'm just teasing.
He sent us a text message.
He did use our segment on Wiggins America this weekend.
He did.
I know because I was listening. So that's very cool. And this morning he's telling me he's coming in here with a very important question for Kim St. Ange. So we're going to get to that at 8:35.
have to do with a poll?
I don't know. I don't know. He does like those.
P-O-L-L, not the P-O-L-E kind.
We will ask him that at the bottom of the hour. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I was willing to give up whatever might be the tracking of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for not making that individual the president of the United States. Kamala Harris out giving some more hard-hitting interviews post-election.
We're not sure exactly what happened, but there was a massive cyber attack to try to bring down the X system with IP addresses originating in the Ukraine area.
Yeah, Elon Musk there. Boy, the left is hating on this guy. He's getting attacked from foreign countries to Twitter, and now his cyber trucks are getting set on fire at different places across the country and vandalized. It's a mess.
Can you deport a legal immigrant?
Absolutely we can. I mean, did he violate the terms of his visa? Did he violate the terms of his residency here?
Yeah, and if you're supporting a known terrorist organization like Hamas, guess what? That's a violation of your visa.
There are some other vehicles there are actually several vehicles involved in this. Right now, I just arrived at the scene. It is.
Yeah, that was the actual video overnight in Seattle, Washington. I just watched this story on CBS News a few minutes ago. They've got a reporter assigned to it now. Across the country, people are vandals. Insane leftists are targeting Elon Musk and his Tesla brand with spray paint. They had one dealership where big X's had been spray painted on these vehicles. That video came from Seattle, where there was a storage lot. They were storing these Teslas before taking them to dealerships. And it was set on fire. Four of them were set on fire. And the police, of course, when you set a battery on fire, it took them a while to get the fire under control. What in the world is going on here? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Donald Trump is having none of it. He was out on his Truth Social showing his support for Elon Musk even this morning. I saw this Truth, let's see where it is here. To Republicans, conservatives, and all great Americans, Elon Musk is putting it on the line in order to help our nation. He's doing a fantastic job, but radical left lunatics, as they often do, are trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla, one of the world's great automakers, and Elon's baby, in order to attack and try to do harm to Elon and everything he stands for. They tried to do it to me at the 2024 presidential ballot box. How did that work out? In any event, I'm going to buy a brand new Tesla tomorrow morning as a show of confidence and support for Elon Musk, a truly great American. Why should he be punished for putting up his tremendous skills to work in order to help make America great again?
Well, I'm sure after these, what was it, four Tesla, the Cybertrucks were burned. I mean, Musk will probably have to file for bankruptcy. That's a huge hit.
I know. Maybe they should make the Beast a Cybertruck, because we know from that explosion in Vegas that they're darn near indestructible, yeah. Right?
I would be a little worried about having a Tesla right now because they're getting beat up. I mean, people are taking baseball bats to them because they're mad at Elon Musk, but it's the person driving it who's the one who's impacted.
Oddly, of the stories I've seen, it's not your little Tesla coupe that is getting targeted. They're targeting the Cybertruck.
Okay, still, I would just be a little bit nervous about driving one right now.
I know. They had a story of some liberal woman who was waving goodbye to her car. She had sold it to, like,
it was the actress
Carvana, and Carvana came and backed up a flatbed truck and loaded it up on there and hauled it off, and she was waving to it as it went bye-bye. She was celebrating getting rid of her Tesla.
I thought you were talking about the actress who did that, like, a year ago to donate the money to, like, I don't even know.
This was in the story from today, so I don't know. You know, the weird thing about it is and I'm generalizing here, I would think that liberals would be more likely to go out and buy a toy car than conservatives and Republicans. That I know that that's not a hard, fast rule, and I'm just saying there could be a reason why you just want to save gas and your commute is only 2 miles and you don't have range anxiety. For most average, hardworking Americans, they don't want an electric vehicle because they do things in their car and they need to travel long distances in it, and you don't want to deal with that nonsense of having to deal with a battery-powered car. But the liberals can't. First of all, they were all in on electric vehicles. Now they don't want to drive them because the guy that created the best brand in America for electric vehicles happens to support Orange Man Bad. They're in a real pickle over there on the left, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do?
I know someone who just got an electric car, and they got a bumper, something like a bumper sticker that says, "I am not liberal." It was a Prius.
Yeah, right. You could. I know conservatives that have them. I'm not saying that's a hard, fast rule. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. Donna Behringer, state rep, candidate for comptroller in the city, is going to join us right after this.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just, less than a month away now from Election Day, April 8th, and in the primary elections in the city, which just happened, Darlene Green, the longtime comptroller, faced off against State Representative Donna Behringer, and Donna Behringer prevailed because she's been putting in a lot of hard work, and now they will face each other again in the general election on the 8th. We have Donna Behringer on the phone this morning. And Donna, I'm sorry I didn't have a fish fry to invite you to, but welcome to the Mark Cox Show.
Thank you, Mark.
I heard you on the air with Reardon the other day at the fish fry, and I thought, you know, I should have Donna on to talk about this race because, as I thought you so aptly put it the other night, I think you've spent a lot of your effort here educating people about what the comptroller's office is supposed to be doing.
Correct. That is what I've been, my whole effort right now is making sure people know what the office should be doing.
Which, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, would include doing a lot of internal audits and stuff. Has Darlene Green's office not been doing that the past 30 years?
So there are 10 different areas within the comptroller's office. So there's many areas, but a couple examples would be payroll. And so when we went to go file to run for office in the city of St. Louis, if you are a municipal position, you have to prove you've paid your taxes, including the 1% earnings tax. Well, what happened in, to the aldermen who are sitting aldermen, so they're sitting offices, they went to pay their fee so they could get on the ballot, and they were told that the earnings tax had not been held out of their paycheck for the whole year. And so that is an issue because they are city employees, they live in the city, and the earnings tax is automatically via payroll taken out of their paycheck, but it didn't happen. So the question is, how could you, what oversight made it so that we didn't know that we were actually not taking the earnings tax out of city employees' paychecks? So they had to hurry up and scramble and pay their earnings tax before they could put their names on the ballot. That's one example. Another example was we had the issue between the mayor and the personnel director taking a city vehicle, driving it to Jefferson City. The comptroller's office is in charge of the travel, and there's a travel policy. So if you have a city car, because we have permanent city cars and then ones that we let people use during the week,
right,
they're supposed to turn those into the municipal garage, which is under the comptroller, and then they're supposed to put in the mileage driven that week. And the comptroller's office is supposed to audit. Had the comptroller's office audited those cars, it would have found that the personnel's car, director's car, had over 600 miles put on it in 24 hours. That would have raised red flags.
All those factors, I'm surprised the Democratic Party in St. Louis endorsed Darlene Green. What's your reaction to that? Why do you think that was the case?
We have groups that believe that they leave it with the friendly incumbent. And so they went with a friendly incumbent. However, I also know that it's actually the most powerful position in the city of St. Louis. It can make or break any development. They have to sign off on the sale of any land. They have to sign off on the contracts for any vendors at the airport. And if they choose not to sign, then that vendor goes unpaid or that development dies.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think it for too long, it's kind of blended into the background and people have kind of forgotten how important that role is. Donna, did you take a position on local control of the police? Because that bill, I think, got perfected by the Senate yesterday.
Well, I am no longer in the House, and that's up in Jefferson City. I am termed out. So what I can tell people is that when you look at it from the fiscal, purely from a fiscal standpoint, the one thing that the city of St. Louis, when the police came under the city of St. Louis, they did not realize that they were responsible to pay all the lawsuits. When it was up under the state, the lawsuits were paid for by the public defense fund at the state level. So the state actually paid for all the city lawsuits.
Oh, wow.
And I think the city so far has paid $30 million out of their own general fund to pay off lawsuits. From a fiscal standpoint, you say to yourself, it would help the city not to have to pay all these lawsuits.
Sure.
So I just say, look at it from the fiscal standpoint. That's how I was looking at it. It doesn't say I'm for or against. It just says, here are all the factors that will be, these conditions will happen based on whether they do or don't go under control.
Well, I tell you, Donna, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time this morning. And obviously, Donna's on the ballot against Darlene Green for comptroller coming up on April 8th. And best of luck to you, Donna. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Great having you on. I appreciate that. Good to get her on. That's an interesting point of view on local control versus state control. That when the state controls it, they own it. And if there are lawsuits against the police for whatever reason, it sounds like it's going to come out of a different fund than city coffers, might end up saving the city some. We'll see in the long run how that works out for sure. That election is April 8th. All right, coming up, Ryan Wiggins coming in with apparently a very important question for Kim St. Ange. We'll be right back.
Can you deport a legal immigrant?
Absolutely we can. I mean, did he violate the terms of his visa? Did he violate the terms of his residency here? You know, committing crimes, attacking Israeli students, locking down buildings, destroying property. Absolutely. Any resident alien who commits a crime is eligible for deportation.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, Brian Wiggins in studio with us this morning. I played that bite a couple times this morning. I haven't really described the context here, but what they ask him about, Stuart Varney ask him about, is this guy they're about to throw out of the country because he is here on like a student visa, but he's been holding all these anti-Semitic rallies and protests on a college campus, and he's the instigator, and they're using the law that says you can be a visa holder, but you're still here under certain conditions. One of those is not supporting a known terrorist organization, which is Hamas. That's how the law reads. So Holman's like, absolutely, we can kick him out. And people are screaming that it's anti-immigrant and it's illegal and it's white supremacists. And it's just the biggest crap shoot you've ever heard in your life.
So it's the same playbook.
The same playbook.
Something I don't like, there must be racism involved, even though I can't figure out how.
They'd kick a white dude out of the country under the same conditions. I don't think they care what skin color you have.
No.
Yeah.
No. Speaking of the same playbook, the other thing we're going to hear this week, Ryan, is the federal government might shut down. Did you know that?
I did know that. But I didn't know how close we were.
Well, we are close, and the Republicans have passed a bill in the House. They're sending it to the Senate, where it's not going to pass.
Okay.
So every Republican is going to vote for it, and every Democrat is going to vote against it. At that point, who has shut the government down? Who will take the blame for it? The Democrats are already screaming that although it's a continuing resolution, it's Obama, Biden, Schumer's government is what it is. They're continuing the current situation, except they've included a few cuts in it, just a few cuts. But it's basically still Biden, Schumer, and Pelosi. I think I might have said Obama. Still Biden, Schumer, and Pelosi's budget. That's what it is. And they'll go back to the same playbook that they were using 10 years ago. And I happen to have this really wonderful little song that was put together a long time. Remember Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a little play on Debbie Downer. Listen.
You're so happy and free. Turn on cable TV. And along comes Debbie Downer. Telling us all a bunch of lies. If we save Medicare, we'll die. Even the press is rolling their eyes. That won't stop Debbie Downer.
This plan would literally be a death trap for some seniors.
She's got all the grace of a punch in the face. She's a double down Debbie Downer. Republicans hate all women, you know. They've got a plan to bring back Jim Crow. They're gonna throw us out in the snow. Oh, Debbie Downer.
Republicans who want to literally drag us all the way back to Jim Crow laws.
Wait for it.
Barack Obama pretends that he's postpartisan, but he gave us Debbie Downer. Obama's chair of the DNC's got a case of foot and mouth disease. And we're just begging, don't shut up, please. Can't get enough of Debbie Downer.
Yeah, they're going to claim that they're starving old people, young kids are going to kick off Medicare, all of the same playbook they always use. But guess what? Shutting down the government is going to be directly on their head. Period. There's no way they can blame the Republicans this time.
They will.
Of course they will.
You're unreasonable.
You're unreasonable.
You left us with no choice but to not sign it.
Well, that's what the news will say, too.
Of course. So, they'll play right along with them.
Speaking of same old playbook.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew this, but Saturday was International Women's Day.
I celebrated that.
I did, too.
Thank you. Celebrate women every
day. Yeah, what'd you
do? My wife made me a sandwich.
Your wife made you a sandwich for International Women's Day?
I'm just kidding. It was a joke. Don't send me any emails. No, I did. I told my wife and my daughter, happy International Women's Day. And they thanked
me. Make me a sandwich.
I did not.
I think we probably do things a little bit differently in the United States.
Oh, yeah. He went to the Mizzou basketball game.
I did thank
Honey,
them.
Happy International Women's Day.
Maybe I thanked them Sunday for Saturday, but I did thank them.
Thanks for letting me go.
So in Canada, it caught my attention because there were protests across the country for International Women's Day. And I thought, well, what are they protesting, you know? And so I saw that they were protesting not Canadian women's rights. They were protesting international women's atrocities, which I thought, well, that's actually great. If you know what's going on in Syria right now, they are basically converting that whole country into an Islamic regime. Right. And women, not just Christian women, I mean, they're doing terrible things to Christians, but they're doing things to all women right now that we haven't seen in modern times. They're putting up checkpoints. You have to wear a hijab. You can't go out. You know, I mean, they're just straight up going Sharia law.
It's crazy.
And the people there are freaking out because, you know, this whole revolution that Tulsi Gabbard predicted would happen is happening really fast. So I assumed that the protester would be protesting something like that. So I read the article. But I found out that while people were protesting, in Montreal it says many wore red, symbolic of both blood and love. Some have had signs displaying the Canadian maple leaf. Some were wearing the Handmaid's Tale robes, a dystopian novel in which women are subjugated by the governing regime. Others carried signs comparing U.S. President Donald Trump's administration to that of Nazi Germany. So, unfortunately, as I read the article and read more about the protests, I realized they're not protesting international, you know, Middle Eastern atrocities that are currently happening. They're protesting the rights of U.S. women. And it says, here's one, quote, "I'm here today because there's an attack on women. There's an attack on minorities. There's an attack on people who aren't billionaires. I've never felt more threatened. All our liberties are being threatened right now, especially for women." So the big question I had for Kim is, under the Trump administration, what rights as a woman? Because I'm not a woman, I don't think. I don't know the definition anymore.
You could identify.
However you identify.
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
Well, I don't identify.
Okay.
So if that's the
what
rule,
is whatever you say.
Yeah, and I figured you did, but I wasn't sure. I didn't.
Well, on Tuesdays I do.
Okay. Good. Today's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So as a woman today, what atrocities or rights have you lost under Donald Trump's administration?
A lot, and it's been very upsetting to me. Yeah, I don't know if I can vote anymore. I don't even know if they're going to allow me to drive. I don't think I'm allowed to eat out at restaurants, right? They'd ban me from doing that because I'm a woman.
See, this seems sarcastic.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know what, you know, what I think that they are upset about is the fact that they don't want you, the conservatives, the Christians specifically, don't want women to be able to go in and end the child's life that's growing in their womb. Even though it's not their body, they say, my body, my choice.
Yeah.
So that's what I think they're the most upset about.
Well, that's mentioned in here, but it's really not, doesn't seem like the point of the protest. So there was an 8-minute silent vigil that they did that I brought in some audio for.
And here it is.
I don't want to play all 8 minutes because I feel like that would be a little bit
too
long.
Well, that was really powerful. This is very powerful audio.
I thought so, too.
We set off some alarms as well.
Yeah, I had about 5 seconds.
I feel moved.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, there was this, an open question because when I read the article, I thought, you know, there's a lot of protests in Canada for Women's Day.
You're expecting me to believe they stayed quiet for 8 minutes?
They're Canadians. They're very polite.
Oh, okay.
But I just couldn't figure it out. And, you know, based on your sarcastic answer, I don't think you figured it out either.
Yeah. Let me know, all the other ladies out there. Let me know when you're being told you can no longer go out to restaurants or drive or vote or do all these other things. I've had zero changes to my life, and I don't get what they're all upset about.
Your life has not changed at all that I'm aware of.
The only right that I no longer have, if I were maybe in high school, is that I don't have a right to, you know, change in a locker room without worrying about a biological man being there.
Okay, here's what's really funny, because one of the quotes says that they were protesting Trump's executive orders on transgender athletes. Women's Day.
On International Women's Day.
On International Women's Day, they were against that. So,
you know what's sad? For International Women's Day, well, maybe this was yesterday, but I think there was a tie-in. They had The View had Dylan Mulvaney on. As a woman, that is so infuriating to me that of all the millions and millions of women they could have chosen to represent women on such a day, they choose a biological man. That should be a slap in the face to every other woman. That's the picture of womanhood.
You know, I made the joke like, I don't even know really what a woman is. But really, that's kind of at the core of the whole problem right now.
Yeah.
Is that we don't really know how to define. You have a Women's Day, and you're mad at people for defining a woman as a woman.
But they can't define a woman.
And they're protesting people who are doing that. I mean, it's really confusing.
It is. Ryan, that's fantastic. Remind people where they can hear Wiggins America.
Saturday morning, 7 to 8. Sunday evening, 7 to 8.
And I listened on Sunday, in fact. Great show, by the way. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk more about a local town that may lose its favorite mascot. I'm talking about Freeburg and the fact that the Senate, the legislature in Illinois is trying to shut it down. We'll be back in just a minute.
Cutting our heads off.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Buddy, go back to the basement.
Hey, Jack Reed, I get more action in a week than you've had your entire life. I've got houses in L.A., Paris, and Vail.
Oh.
Each one of them with a 70-inch plasma screen. So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf.
One of my favorite scenes of all time from the movie Elf, obviously, with Peter Dinklage in it, who is, Brian Wiggins told me this a minute ago, suffers from dwarfism, correct? Is this what we decided?
Well, that's the traditional terms. Dwarfism and midget are different.
They're two different things,
yeah.
But the Freeburg High School mascot is a midget, the Mighty Midgets. It's been that way for 100 years. And the state of Illinois is about to strip that away from them. We have two proud Freeburg natives in the studio with us this morning, Brad Range and Tricia Everding in here. We asked them to step in because we were going to talk about this.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
How are
you,
Mark? Good to see you guys are fighting midgets, right?
The mighty midgets.
Okay. How do you feel about this?
They never fight anybody.
This comes up every couple of years, right?
Yeah, it seems like every so often somebody will be like, that's offensive. We need to change that. And then it seems like Freeburg's high school stance is no.
Yeah.
No, sorry,
we're good.
But no.
One of the employees said it's been a tradition that's been going on for years. It was never meant to be disrespectful.
It started in the 1930s with a basketball team where all the players were under 5'10". And legend has it, they were going against Dupo, who was having an undefeated season, and we won that game. And so a local sports writer dubbed us the Mighty Midgets. And it's always been a point of pride for us. I don't know.
It kind of stuck.
Kind of stuck, so to speak.
Here's what I didn't. So the law says that the law they want to change would say that you could not have something that was deemed offensive or referred to somebody with a disability. And for the life of me, I didn't know. Like, I played the Peter Dinklage thing there because he's a dwarf. I can't imagine he considers himself disabled, but.
Dwarfism is not a disability.
So, but you said midget's different.
But yes. A midget is...
So is that a disability?
I wouldn't think that either one of them would be considered disabilities, though.
See, you can't... If you look up the word midget, you get yelled at. So... I have not been able to find anything.
Carl's scared his computer's going to lock up.
The medical articles probably aren't coming
HR's
up so
on
quick.
Its way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't the standard be whether or not whatever it is designed to honor the individual as opposed to degrade them? This is clearly meant as an honor, right? You're not tossing midgets onto a wall like they used to do at bars. You're honoring them as mighty.
What bars are you going
to? What bar is that? Look it up. They used to do midget tossing in bars.
It used to be a thing. Dwarf tossing.
Okay, we're not doing that in Freeburg.
My point is you're not abusing anybody. You're honoring them, right?
Well, I do feel bad for the guys who are under 5'10 being called a midget.
Well, right. That's awful.
I'm under 5'10. Well, I'm 5'9 and a half.
You're a mighty midget. That's right.
You would have been a starting center on that team.
Legally, guard. You have to be... less than 4'10 to be considered a dwarf. Is that for man or woman?
Interesting.
Yes.
Carl's even scared.
We're not
going
to solve the problem here, but just so you know that's what's going on in Freeburg. And thank you, you Freeburg Mighty Midgets, for coming in this morning.
Of course. Yeah. The town is fighting back. We're just here to tell you what's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Kilmeade coming up. You can still get VIP tickets to his show on the 22nd. Go to 971talk.com and you can find all the details on there. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.